Hi and welcome to my favourite Elliot Smith song. In this podcast, we tried to do our bit to keep Elliot Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi and thank you for joining us for this, the 8th episode of our 4th season. Our guest today is Johanna Samuels. Johanna is a musician based in Los Angeles and has just released her first full-length album called Excelsior, which came out earlier on this year. She's also a big Elliot Smith fan and even gathered together fellow musicians in LA to organise an Elliot Smith tribute show a few years ago. And she even sang Single File on the covers album that Kill Rock Stars put out to mark the anniversary of the self-titled Elliot Smith record. So in this interview, she discusses that tribute show, connecting with a good friend of Elliot's, and of course we discuss her favourite song pick too, which is one we've never spoken about before. So here she is. Here's Johanna Samuels talking to Elizabeth Woodstanley.
My name's Johanna Samuels, and I picked the song Antonio Carlos Jobim by Heat Miser. I think my overall favorite Elliot Smith song is Happiness, but I think it would be more interesting to talk about this one. Yeah.
Why are you here? Couldn't you tell him? Were you afraid he'd hear? You should have been thankful to be alone. You took off your shoes.
So it is released, and that's how I came about it, but it's released with Heat Miser, and I was kind of just letting those records play through, like as a whole, over quarantine, just because I'm less familiar with them. And I know certain Heat Miser songs better than others, but this one just popped out to me. And then I kind of, you know, I looked up different recordings and it seemed as though he was playing that song live as a solo artist, as he was kind of, eclipsing out of the Heat Miser moment and kind of going into his solo career. And I fell in love with those live recordings of him playing the song alone, just because you could hear the song a little more naked, kind of. Whereas the Heat Miser recording is so awesome, but it's definitely harder rock.
Said anything further would be bad news, 'cause he'd already started to disappear.
So what drew you to this song? Or at least I think maybe we should center it around this kind of live recording version of it, since that seems to be cool. what you're drawn to.
First, the lyrics jumped out at me first. I love the songs where he kind of is telling this vivid story. He does that in a lot of different ways, but this one felt very kind of like a little vignette, like a short story kind of. And some of his lyrics, like he says, this is a record full of sour notes. And that was the first line that jumped out at me. And I was like, ooh, who is this about? You know, like, what is this?
Looked at your lyric and crossed over to play. A record of quiet instrumentals. Sort of like what you wrote. This is a record full of sour notes. You should have been thankful to be alone.
Then I kind of fell in love with this guitar pattern, like strumming pattern that he plays. And I couldn't really figure out why it was speaking to me so much. And then I kind of, as I sat with it, realized that it reminded me a lot of another song of his that I loved so much, like as a younger person, bottle up and explode. And there's this instrumental section where he's doing this rhythmic thing, like bum ba dum bum bum ba da da dum dum bum, and like I kind of fell in love with understanding, like, or trying to put together like the underpinnings or the like origin of how he was kind of forming his musicality, and kind of connecting songs to other songs and understanding them in the context of one another, if that makes sense. Yeah, it like also reminded me of this other Beatles song that I fell in love with when I was like six, called I Need You off Help. And there's like this drum thing that Ringo does, like that's like bum ba da bum bum bum. And like obviously I don't know any of this for sure, but I just see like this web of rhythm that like really spoke to me when it came to Elliot's music as a younger person, and then seeing it kind of obviously coming across this song that was one of his earliest songs, much later in my life, it was like really cool to kind of see it in a fuller picture, because it's such a tender song. And yeah, it helped me understand his kind of like instrumentation. Every time I've tried to figure out how he's playing something, it's made me a better musician. And I'm, you know, probably I'm nowhere near, I don't have the musicality he possessed. But even trying to understand how he played helps me grow. And so it's really inspiring.
Are you familiar with the Brazilian composer that the song is titled after?
I never had heard of him ever. And so that was really cool. And it also, you know, the mythology of why he picked certain titles. Like, I'd love to know why he picked it, and wondering if, you know, this artist had an effect on him, or, and it seems like he wrote the, or the record came out in 94, if I'm not, I think. So, or maybe he wrote it around the time that he passed away. But it's just a lot of not knowing, which I love about songs and his songs in general, kind of just getting to paint your own picture of what was happening.
In this song, it seems like there's a chorus in it that seems to repeat the should be thankful to be alone.
Yeah, I loved that so much, especially because it was, you know, kind of in a, on a personal level, cosmically, I was very much alone. I discovered the song in the beginning of quarantine, you know, alone in my room, having the time to, you know, go through all the Heat Miser records. And it felt, I was also kind of personally going through something where I was really trying to appreciate myself, like in my state of being alone, and like what that means. And I think it's kind of a subject that Elliot explores a lot in terms of how we, the ways that we try to come together when we are afraid of being alone. And, you know, the outcomes of those oftentimes are messy and but fruitful in terms of exploring how humans connect to one another, which is something I love about how Elliot writes, because it's really tender, but it's also really like brilliant in the way that he kind of looks at it. It's not, I wouldn't say like scientifically, but like he had such a wisdom, like an aerial view of humanity in terms of being very personal in the way that he wrote. Like, you know, oftentimes you can feel that like someone's ripped his heart out and he's angry and he's heartbroken and he's so mad at them, but then also like there's this thing that connects us all that is like we're very imperfect humans, but like you should have been thankful to be alone. Like you should have been able to just be happy with yourself.
It's a big topic, right? It's a tough thing for many to achieve, I think.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like for him, he often does that so well, just these topics that are just so vast and huge. And then he'll just say like a very short lyric or sentence that's like, oh damn, he did it in an effortless way.
Said I like what you wrote, but don't say you mean it when you know you don't. You should have been thankful to be alone, you know. You should have been thankful to be alone, you know. You should have been thankful to be alone.
I know a few years ago, I think you organized a tribute show here in Los Angeles, where, you know, there's a variety of musicians covering his songs. Can you tell us just a little bit about that, you know, kind of the thought of kind of putting that together and, you know, what's Elliot's songs you like to cover?
Yeah, that was it. Like, I think till the end of my life will be one of the, like, that was a really, I think the whole time I carried a lot of shame, just in terms of like, who am I to put this together? But I felt that it would be really healing if we could all sing his songs. And also, just as like the same obsessive person I always am, like I loved the idea of all of us kind of like diving into his music at once and like gathering musicians that I respected, to kind of go through that together. And it was a very emotional endeavor. And some things, you know, were wonderful and I'll never forget them. But ultimately, it was a lot emotionally for me. And the night that it like happened, you know, I think the merging of, you know, truly worshiping this music and having a personal experience with it, and like trying to honor that so many people have personal relationships to his music, it did kind of highlight that people's personal relationships with Elliot's music is a very tender thing, and people react in lots of different ways to it. And it's a tender road to tread. But I got a lot of feedback from the audience that it was like a very moving experience for them. And so that was very rewarding. But in the end, you know, I still sometimes get stopped around LA. And people say that show meant a lot to them and thank me for doing it. So that is also always very nice. But I always kind of just have this heaviness in my heart around that show, because I think I look up to him as like as a musical hero, but also from who I understand that he was. Like I just hope that I did him right, or didn't dishonor him in any way, or I don't know. I think since that night, I have definitely like come to find that he's kind of like, this sounds so cheesy, but kind of like a spirit guide for me. I like during the years following, I went through some very difficult you know, like emotional music, musical, emotional, personal coming to a heads, if that makes sense. And I really was going to give up music there for a second. And I ended up meeting Dorian Gary, who was one of his best friends, and he wrote EXO in her apartment. And she ended up just swooping into my life in this amazing way and giving me like these lyrics that he had written. It was a song that he didn't put out right at the moment that I was genuinely going to walk away from music. And it was kind of like this, like, oh, like maybe I shouldn't stop, and maybe like, maybe I'm like expressing some like self, there's a lot of shame and stuff that I carried around it, but I've come to peace with the fact that I'm able to make music, and like, maybe I'm worth making music. And Elliot has helped me kind of look at those inner demons and kind of comfort me in a weird kind of spiritual way. I feel so funny saying this on the air, but
It's a tough thing, I think. Like, I mean, any artist in any field, it's like you need to, you know, do that artwork. Mm-hmm. Whether anybody is on the receiving end of it or not. And then I think music is particularly hard because that component of the receiving end seems to be a big factor in the validation of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where I think maybe in some of the other arts, it's not as much, at least because they're not as much in the popular culture. Mm-hmm. I can see how one might struggle with that. And, you know, in Elliot's case, you know, it's interesting that...
he struggled with that as well.
Yeah, definitely. But the music was out there. Like he kind of, you know, I don't know, hit the jackpot in a way, in the sense that, you know, he was able to get it out there. Mm-hmm. But then I think balancing that, okay, it's out there. Yes. And now I'm this public figure, and how does one deal with that?
Yeah. Yeah. And in conversations with Dorian, like as I've, you know, worked through all of this, I think that balancing has been like one of my biggest, you know, personal issues as a musician, you know, being the kind of person I want to be as a human being, and then also pursuing this career. Like, I think that she said that Elliot struggled with kind of this concept of, he was very disheartened by the concept of, she said that he called them shiny people, like this kind of element of like fame and recognition and the allure of that, but also kind of the depraved nature of that, and wanting, making music to connect with people and you know, having that drive to want your music to be heard so that you can connect with human beings. And then at the same time, all the things that come with that, if you're not careful, can really take you off your, like, you know, authentic goodness. And he had, it seemed like such a tender heart and cared so much about people, especially people that weren't shiny. So like, it seemed like that was a huge struggle for him.
And kind of looping it back to the song, there's, you know, there's a section of the song where it says, just looked at your lyric and crossed over to play a record of quiet instruments. Mm-hmm. And then he's quoting, you know, the response to that, which was said, I like what you wrote, but this is a record full of sour notes.
Yes. Oh, God. I just got goosebumps. Yeah, exactly. Like, I like what you wrote, but this is not connecting human beings. Sour notes.
Right.
And so much of music, you know, I've dealt with, I related so much to that lyric because it felt like so many times I'm writing songs, it's because I'm feeling so alienated and I am angry and I want to connect and I also want to not write sour notes. And I also thought that it was so genius the way that he, you know, in that songwriterly way, like, I like what you wrote, but this is a record full of sour notes. And then the last chorus went after the instrumental. He says, I like what you wrote, but don't say you mean it when you know you don't. I just thought that was like a perfect way of putting it. That's like, you have to, there's this inner, like being thankful for being alone is actually being your most centered self. And that's like what brings the most peace to everyone around you. If that makes sense.
Right. Like, you know, you should be happy with what you do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, does this bring you peace? Like all of this focusing on something else, like all of this kind of, and I feel like I also struggle with that so much of just staying in my lane. It's so easy to be affected by the choices of other people and wishing things were different and wishing people were different and being disappointed and being affected personally. And especially during quarantine, I felt that I was really focused on getting in the practice of like, it's actually really quiet and there isn't really a lot of hate when you really get into the core of yourself and you're thankful for being there. Yeah, it's like he was Buddha or something. Just like, okay. And then, yeah. And he wrote that while he was like in this like rock band. Like, you know, I've heard him like say that in his interviews, like I couldn't even like sing the lyrics I wanted to sing because I was like screaming over the band. But then he's like writing these profound songs.
You should have been thankful to be alone.
So thanks a lot to Johanna for being a guest on the show. And do check out her album too, which is out now. That's pretty much it from me today. Just the usual reminders that you can get in touch with us by emailing info@myfavoriteelliotsmithsong.com or contact us on Twitter, Instagram or Facebook. Thanks to Johanna and Elizabeth, and of course, thank you for listening to this episode. We'll be back with a new one very soon. See you then.